Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. In a downturn, money is on everyone's mind. Job losses are mounting. Foreclosures haunt many neighborhoods. So what does God say about money when it seems the future is getting bleaker all the time? Today, we'll begin to find out. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Today, we begin a series on investing for eternity. Our use of money indicates where our hearts are. So listen now as Erwin Lutzer comes to talk with us about worship that God accepts.
This is the first in a series of four messages titled Investing for Eternity. Investing for Eternity. The minute you mention the word money, we immediately we begin a rundown in our own minds of where we stand on the economic ladder. And given the fact that we are in an economic slowdown and the projection is that things might get worse before they get better, people today are filled with fear. As a matter of fact, I read that 10,000 heart attacks probably happened in the last 12 months that can be traceable to the economic situation. Even the rich are scared. And so as a result of that, money is on our minds a great deal more than it usually is, and it usually occupies a great deal of our time and our energy and our thought, because money has tremendous power. Power for good and power for evil. This series of messages is intended for us to kind of back off and see what God has to say about money. But of course, what I say here in the pulpit is only a small little window into the picture. And that's why, as you notice, we have opportunities for you to learn more. But we want you to begin to grapple with this whole business of finances and to think about money very seriously. And I want to begin this series by giving you some encouragement. Don't turn to the passage, but just remember it in your mind, the 26th chapter of Genesis. The Bible says that there was a famine in the land, and Isaac was living in the land at that time. And the word of the Lord came to Isaac saying, "Do not go down into Egypt." That's usually what happened when there was a famine in the land. His father Abraham went down into Egypt. And it is there that he was able to get Hagar, who later on became his mistress. And furthermore, it is there that he lost Lot's heart. Because later on, Lot had a love for money because he had seen the wealth of Egypt. So God says, "Isaac, don't go down into Egypt. There is a famine in the land, but stay in this land and I will take care of you." And right from the get-go, I want to tell you that there may be a famine in the land, but stay in the land and God will take care of you. God has not forgotten his people in the midst of some economic loss. When all of us have seen our retirement funds shrivel and we've seen the future being quite bleak. And some of you, maybe this past week, maybe your job was terminated. God is going to be with us through all this. Now, the moment you mention the word money to people in a church, immediately you have a reaction. Some people react because they say, "Oh, there he goes again. He's talking about money." Usually these are people who had a bad experience in a church, where all that the church talked about was money. I can say truthfully, I believe, that that's not at all true of Moody Church. What a terrible thing it is if you give simply because we need to keep the lights on and simply because we have salaries that need to be paid. That's not why you give. Giving is the kingdom of God. Giving is extending the kingdom around the world. Giving is teams that go to Mexico and that missionaries who go to Romania and orphanages in other lands that we support. and all kinds of things that your money has done that we don't even have time to tell you about. That's what it is. It's advancing the gospel here amid the families of Chicago, the children of Chicago, and to be a light. That's what it's all about. It's never about giving, and all that we want is your money. I want you to relax, because if you are here today thinking that all that we want is your money, you're going to find out how wrong you really are. That's not what this is about. Secondly, there are those who are stingy. I know that the word is frugal, but I'm using the word stingy. I want to just call it what it is. Now, if you are stingy, you know, you're going to really react, because you're going to say the very mention of it sends something through my soul. You remember that old story that comes from East Texas, where there was this little church, and there was a woman sitting there in her finery, really decked out. She had bling. And the deacon passed the offering plate past her, and she didn't give anything. So he just passed it by her again, and she still didn't give anything. Then he passed it by a third time. You can imagine how she was looking and staring at him when that happened. So he leaned over and whispered to her. He said, "Either put something in or take something out, because it's for the heathen anyway." Oh, friend, God wants to change you so that at the very sound and talk of the word money, you think in terms of what you can do rather than all the things that you're determined not to do. So it isn't about that. And then there are those, because the minute you mention the word money, they think of debt. I think the credit card has done a lot of harm. There are all kinds of things we'd never buy if we actually... Could you imagine going out in a restaurant and spending $80 for you and your friends to have a meal, and you're actually taking the money out, $80, $24, you would never do that, but you put it on a credit card. Like the bumper sticker says, live within your means, even if you need to borrow in order to do it. The average American couple lives at least 10% beyond their means, and this is a very difficult time to learn that debt is a curse. Debt is a curse. In fact, dirt, devil, and debt, they're all related. And that's why here at the Moody Church, following this series, what we'd like to do is, and we're working on it, we're in touch with some people who are going to teach it, we want to give instruction, specific instruction to individuals regarding finances, to help you get out of debt, to help you think in terms of budget, to help you to think in terms of how you can have a plan so that things will not be where they are a year from now. We want to help you as individuals do that, because we understand the overwhelming bondage of debt. But what we're going to talk about is such things as what is the best investment? And the best investment is the highest rate of return and the greatest amount of security. When you have those, you've got a good investment. And that's why we've titled the series, Investing for Eternity. Now, in order to see how God does things and to give us at least a little introduction to the way in which God sees wealth, I want you to take your Bibles and turn to the book of Exodus. And we're going to begin at chapter 35, where God gives some instructions to Moses, because God wants to build a tabernacle. The tabernacle was a tent, and this tent would house the Holy of Holies, and this is where God was going to appear and be localized for the people to worship. And the principles that God laid out for how it was to be built, how he foresees the use of wealth, they're all here, and they're all applicable to us today. So I want us to read the text and to understand that, first of all, God says, when you're doing something, let it be a community project, a community project. Exodus chapter 35, page 75, I believe it is, on your Bible there that you have before you. And you can pick the one up that's in the seat. 75, page 75, verse 4. Moses said to all the congregation of the people of Israel, "This is the thing that the Lord has commanded. Take from among you a contribution to the Lord. Whoever is of a generous heart, let him bring the Lord's contribution. Gold, silver, bronze, blue and purple and scarlet, yarns, fine twine, linen, goat's hair, tanned ram skins, goat skins, acacia wood, oil for the light, spices for the anointing oil and for the fragrant incense, and onyx stones and stones for the setting, for the ephod and for the breastpiece." Notice that God says this to all of Israel, verse 4. All the congregation of Israel, the invitation went to them all. Why does God do it that way? Why didn't he just have angels build this tent? Why didn't he just create the tent? Well, God says, first of all, what unifies people is either a common enemy or a common project. And so God says, I want you to be together so that you can share one another's gifts and one another's abilities. And also, the Lord says, to spread the blessing when the tent has been built. Everybody involved. That's why it's so important for us to teach children the good use of money, to teach them to give to the Lord, to teach them to think strategically about money and have a plan. It is so that in the end, all can rejoice together. Our Sunday school, our young people, when we have a project, as we did with the CLC, the Christian Life Center, all were able to rejoice together because all participated. I know that we're going through an economic hard time. I'm well aware of that. Christian ministries are suffering financially because of it. But you know, God is going to bring us through it, and he's going to bring us through it together. And in the end, all of us will rejoice together, and we'll look back and see the faithfulness of God, because his challenge to us is that this is a community challenge. Well, this is Pastor Lutzer, and as you already guessed, these messages were preached here at the Moody Church to our congregation, but I do think that they have a larger application. Your church, your Christian ministry, no matter where you find yourself, is worthy of your support. And all of us know that we don't have enough money that we can send money everywhere. We have to choose our places of responsibility, choose where we are blessed. But at the same time, we need to seek the Lord, especially when it comes to giving to missions and giving for the worldwide work of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Here's what I'd like you to do. I want you to listen to this series of messages with this question in mind. What is God saying to you, and what is he saying to me about our resources? How can we be faithful at a time when we are being economically challenged, when there are on the horizon some dark clouds, and yet at the same time we have resources that must be given to the kingdom? Thanks for joining us, and I'll see you next time.
Erwin Lutzer has introduced Worship That God Accepts, the first message in his series on investing for eternity. Next time on Running to Win, more on the attitude God wants to see as we make investments in his kingdom. All four messages on investing for eternity can be yours on CD as our thank you for your gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw.com. Or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. For Dr. Erwin Lutzer, this is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.